so yeah, like there was definitely like a big gap of time where I was sitting there like, okay, how do I write the song now that like, it's hard, like I can reflect on it, but at the same time, like I don't feel this way anymore, but sure. I still feel like it's important to get out.
Right. Yeah. Because you're a different person altogether. So, but that's what I was asking about, like the actual, the sound and how it changes. Give us an example of the songs on Bury the Static that were written pre-COVID. No, go ahead.
I was going to say the earliest example I have is a song called The Echoes. Mm-hmm. And that was the first one that I pushed forward as a single. I started writing that as early as probably April or May 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But like I never really got all the way through, but I started like conceptualizing it and kind of slowly picking at it. That was written around a time when I was still kind of on like the mend, I guess, for like my mental health. And so it was a little easier to try to figure out what those lyrics were going to be and everything like that. And then, yeah, coming into the pandemic and now that everything kind of feels like a little better for me, like just because I've had a lot of time to clear my head, it's hard to finish those kinds of songs, you know?
The echoes are the sounds that are coming from all around, and I'm listening. Lead me down to a place where I won't be found, and I'm listening. The echoes are the sounds that will leave me to drown, and I'm listening. The echoes lead me down further and further into the ground, and I'm listening. Just a voice amongst the shadows. The echoes bouncing back are preparing
So now give us an example of the ones during the pandemic that you did for the other half of this.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like a good example. Probably the song Colossal, I guess.
Colossal.
Because in nature, like if you listen to the song, the instrumentals and everything like that, they're not as heavy or aggressive as I would usually tend to write. And I guess because of the pandemic and everything like that, I felt like more of a need to like want to try out some new sounds that I had thought of before, but thought it wouldn't fit for L State type thing. There's a lot of things I've scratched, but Colossal is the perfect example of something I tried that ended up sounding like really good to me. It didn't sound as dark, but it still kind of fit the mood and the theme.
Right.
So again, it comes back to like, you know, after having like made peace with a lot of things in my life, it was still trying to fit the theme I had already set for this album.
Standing on the brow. Just the way you plan. I don't wanna listen while
Now, is it... I was just going to say, now that it's done and you're putting it out, how do you feel about all of it? Because a lot of artists, as you just said, this took you time to do, and there was a split in your schedule with wanting to put it together as a whole, and you had time to change. But a lot of artists, when they finally get something out, they sit back and they go, oh, should I put that out? Or I feel better that now that it's off my plate, I can start on new material.
It was, I guess the best way I can describe it, it was kind of a surreal type feeling, because realistically, even with the breaks, like, this album took 14 months to finally complete.
Right.
So it was something that I felt was like nagging me and carrying on my back for a long time, because like I wanted it done, but at the same time I wanted it to feel right. And that was probably my biggest concern. Like, when quarantine was happening, and my mood started changing, I was afraid that this album wasn't going to sound as accurate, I guess, for lack of better terms,
mm-hmm.
to what the album is supposed to be and what the entire story is supposed to be for the two albums.
Right. So you were just feeling the anxiety of, like, I had this picture in my head of what I wanted to sound like, and then now with all these other things affecting me, I'm never going to get that sound to do it justice.
Yeah, more or less, but I guess it turned out in the end, though, because, like, looking back to the album, like, I love what it is, and, like, right. I love what I did with it, and even being in a different mindset towards the end of the production and writing and everything like that, it still manages to fit. Like, I could probably point out specific points where, like, okay, I wrote this at this time, and, like, I feel two different things in these times, but you as a listener probably wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
Ah, okay, yeah. All right. So it's like you do feel a sense of relief that it does sound the way it is. Hey, it's Gunnar. You're listening to Steel City Music. My guest right now is Chris Poor from Frail State. He has a new album out. You can grab it on Bandcamp. It's called Bury the Static. It's part of a two-part storyboard, as he said, from his previous EP to this one now. Now that it's done, you're going to be, you'll do what everyone else does. You'll do the social media, you do the call around to send the songs out to people, that sort of stuff, to get some, to drum up some interest in the album, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing now as far as your next project in music?
Well, I've kind of started conceptualizing it, but the idea is, like, I'm not ready to jump into it yet. I don't want to jump into it yet just because, like, I don't want to suddenly get burnout,
mm-hmm.
which I started kind of feeling towards the end of this album. And I want to make sure that, like, I'm ready to absolutely step back into this. And, you know, as you've already mentioned in the interview, like, I'm a second year radio student. So sitting down to make an album by myself is not exactly the easiest thing to do right now. It's actually very time consuming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when it comes to the next project that I have, like, as I said, yeah, I've started conceptualizing it, and it's going to be outside the realm of being personal now, because I feel like with Bury the Static, that kind of ends the story as for the way I see it. So now I have to kind of step outside my own head and start writing an album, like, that's not about me anymore. And that's what I felt was going to be, like, one of the biggest challenges if I was to continue with Frail State, which I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, like, I'm not going to dive too deep into it just yet because it's still kind of early, but it's based on, like, a short story I had written, like, a long time ago that I found, like, kind of, it's fascinating. It's not quite sci-fi, but it has, like, that tinge of it to it.
All right.
But it also, you know, I explained it to my girlfriend. She said the best thing, not the best thing, but the best way to describe it, it sounds like a type of a story, Year Zero by Nine Inch Nails. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever heard that album, but it's a very, like, kind of dystopian near future kind of thing, but, like, everything's kind of, like, messed up in the world. And it was just funny to conceptualize this album now because, especially with the pandemic going on, there's, like, a lot of division amongst people right now because of one thing or another. It was just interesting to have this concept come up and, like, yeah, maybe I'll kind of play with this and see what I can do with it. Hey, this is Chris Poor from Frail State, and my new album, Bury the Static, is out now. You can find it on Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, pretty much wherever you get your music, or check out frailstate.com.
comes from outrage. It what motivates me to, it puts enough fire in my blood to where I can get up and have to write something. That's why I don't write it like, hi girl, it's nice to see you again. You know, like so many of these bands, I just look at them and just go like, how dare you get on a stage and waste people's time with this insipid crap, you know?
You're listening to Steel City Music.
You got it wrong, son. Here's an example. Singer's trying to sing. Don't get in the singer's way when he's trying to sing. Good deal? Go away now.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, Hamilton's alternative.
Hey, thanks for listening to Steel City Music. Your friend Gunner here, hanging out with you. And I've been having a lot of fun talking to people that I spoke to last year that I haven't been able to keep in contact with. And I was going through Facebook, and all of a sudden this really super cool video popped up, and it had a really catchy beat to it. And I went, wait a minute, I know that guy. I know that guy. That's Rick from Brutus Begins. And then he's dancing, but he's animated, and it looks fantastic. So, like, I got to track this guy down. I haven't spoken to him forever. Buddy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Gunner. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, hey, you know, the last time you and I chatted, I think it was like 2019, and you brought the guitar up, and we were hanging out, and you sang a couple tracks, and we were talking about me knowing some of your old roommates, that kind of thing. And
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun and everything. And then, you know, my show gets rolling, a year goes by, and I'm like, whatever the hell happened to Rick? And then, wow. Yeah. I saw that video. Hey, congratulations on All Right, All Right. That's a great song.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I got a lot of help on that one.
Yeah.
And it was actually with that song, that's one of those tracks, like, and a lot of musicians listening will be able to kind of empathize with this. When you have something, it's kind of in your head, but it's not coming out exactly the way you planned it or whatever. And it's an older song. It's something that I wrote a few years ago.
Right.
And I'm after meeting up with a producer friend of mine, who was, you know, kind of mentoring me and getting me just how to get better drum sounds, better guitar sounds, better writing. Like, a lot of it having to do with being able to kind of correct with small nuances. Because I personally think the difference between, like, a pretty good song and a great song where it really needs to be is just in details and just, like, cutting the fat and, like, making the hook clear. Like, I feel like there's a real craft to it, right? And as much as I like to think I know about it, I still have so much to learn. It was really great to have somebody who had been in the business for quite some time, who had had a lot of success and written for bigger artists, kind of take me under his wing and say, okay, this is how we're going to bring this song to life, really, really bring it together. So we were able to co-produce the track and get it to a place where I was proud to share it. And it felt like it was the vibe that I was after the whole time, because I had done a couple of versions of it that I just wasn't happy with. Yeah. And this is the first time I feel like having a live band play it. My bandmates, Jeff Burns and Nick Burson, having them play it with me made all the difference in the world, and they really captured the vibe of it. And you know, you invite people along and they bring something you don't expect, but you're super grateful for having as part of the track, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you were able to finally get this the way you wanted it to sound. Are you allowed to say who the producer is on this?
Yeah. It's his name's Pino Zolfo, and he's a guy who's had experience. I don't want to name drop and stuff, but he's written with some larger artists, and he's recorded with some bigger people who've had, like, who you've heard on the radio and stuff. And he kind of broke down to me, like, there are certain things that I was like, you know, he had this wish to say, I want the drum to sound like something that Beck would do or something. He's like, well, this is. And he would actually break down. He's like, well, this is how Beck records his drums. Not that he's in the studio with him, but he knows very specific techniques and things that I'm just, like, I was blown away by. But for instance, I mean, if you take the time to hear the track, you'd probably be surprised to hear that it's one microphone in a room. Like, every other session that myself or Nick Burson, my drummer, had been in, we talked about it. We've never been in a studio session where the drums were mic'd with one microphone. Like, usually it's about 13 mics or, like, 7 mics.
And sure.
Something above the snare, something below the snare, and there's a lot of, and that works really well for certain sounds. But for the thing that I had described to Tino, he's like, this is how you record it, and it's really hard to find that sweet spot for the mic. And we're going to take about an hour and a half to do that. But once we have it set up, we're going to be ready to roll. And so what started off as kind of like suspicion or trepidation, thinking this is insane, this is never going to sound good. And my drummer was like, what are we doing here? And then myself and Nick and Jeff, we were all like, within 2 hours of the setup and the compression